Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Starting your day, Torah Way, Northwest London, Monday Bank Holiday, 29th of May, Tess Sivan, Dine Dollar Shlomo Englander, Contemporary Gerith Challenges, slightly through the beginning of this year. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lichvod, Simcha Sabanitza, Sridi Grunfeld.
These are the basics that are taught in the syllabus of Geirus. Again, you'll have different Batei Din, will have different hakpadas of how much they want the Geirus candidate to learn and which things they feel are important. Now, but that's all what we're calling the theory. But besides theory, there's also the practice. And part of the practice is that we want to see that the person is already a practicing Yid before they actually do the Geirus. So that they'll be, that they've actually become comfortable in living this type of lifestyle. So let's say for a woman, it means dressing the tzniyas, and it means for a man dressing like a yid with the tzitzis or the yarmulke with the, you know, he's walking around like a comporting as a from yid and going keeping all the mitzvahs, going to shul every day, davening and keeping kasher, keeping a kosher home, all these things we want to see in practice. Besides for that, there's another requirement that our bezdin has. I don't know if every bezdin has that, but that they have to live with a Yiddish family, so that not only are they putting into practice what they learn, but they're actually seeing what it looks like from a close up how a frum yid lives their life, and that has we have found that is very, very helpful in giving people a very clear picture of what was expected of them after Geirus. It's not always possible because a single person is much easier to set them up with a family. People that are married or other type of, sometimes people are elderly, it's hard for them to move, whatever the hashbainas are, but it's a requirement that we generally require, and if there's difficulties, then we have to deal with them. Now, one of the things that is important for them to learn as well, what mamish, one of the basics, is the Ikari HaAmunah. Because, actually, the Rambam says that we teach them Ikari HaDas. It's not clear if the Rambam, when he says Ikari HaDas, if he means Daska the Ikari HaAmunah, or he means the main thing, the most important things in Yiddish, but the Rambam says, Marichin Ima V'Davah Zeh. Sounds like this is like something that we really have to teach very strongly, because ultimately, if a ger doesn't know all the halachas and doesn't keep everything because of a lack of idea, it doesn't pass all the gers. If a person, let's say, became a ger, just give an example. There's a case in Igus Moshe. I believe this is a story, but the details are not important. But I believe the story was that a woman became a ger. And after the Geirus, she continued to wear trousers after the Geirus. And the question was, does that show a lack of Kabbalah's mitzvah? Don't quote me. I'm not sure if it was trousers or some other lack of tzniyus. So Reb Moshe says that no, it's not a question. It doesn't pass with the Geirus. Why? Because the main thing in Geirus is that the person has to have a Kabbalah's mitzvah. But that doesn't mean the person has to know what all the mitzvahs are. The person has to have has to be committed that whatever they're going to find out is required of a yid, they're going to be mekayim. He says, if a person sees that this is how, as far as they know, what they can see, this is something which Jewish people do, they're not makbid on. They know that there are other people who are makbid on it, but they say they could have the impression that this is only a chumrah. So that wouldn't be considered a lack of commitment. The commitment never has to be that the ger has to know everything before. They have to be committed that whatever they will find out is the halacha they will keep. So therefore over here he says, if the woman at the time thought that this is the what's required of her alpi halacha, so that's the feltnish nikabal's mitzvah. It's not considered a lack of kabal's mitzvah. Sorry? So again, and Indian. That's why there's a big difference between Likatchila and Bidiyavit. Of course Likatchila, the Moshe would also tell you that you have to teach them everything that potentially is comes up in daily life. Of course that's what we do, that's what we strive for, that the person should know, and that's where we give them 2 years to learn all these things. And of course we'll teach them about sneers, we'll teach them about everything. But when you're talking about Bidiyavit, the person already was Megaya. But at the time of the geir, the person kept on being over on this halacha. The question is, can we pass all the geirus based on that? But Enochanami, if a person after geirus turned on a light on Shabbat, and the person says he didn't realize that that's something that's required of the halacha, Enochanami would be the same thing. No, it doesn't pass all the geirus. If, again, it depends on the context of what it was. If he knew that this is something which is absolutely taboo, and he still did it, so that shows a lack of kabbalah mitzvah. But if the context is the person knew he's committed to keep halacha, to keep Shabbos, he just didn't really, he thought that turning on a light as if it's a chumrah. So okay, so then it's a puzzle. I hope you don't mean that seriously. Yeah, no, the interesting thing is passing the bezdin, because. No, when you ask me about passing the bezdin, it actually means something, because the halacha is that geirus has to be b'fnei shloisha. So you need to have that's ma'akev in geirus, that it has to be done b'fnei shloisha, in front of three dayanim. If the dayanim are not kosher to be dayanim, then the whole geirus is not chal. So you can have, mashal, if you find out that a dayan is something seriously wrong with the dayan, yeah, let's see, you found that this dayan is a kofer. So you could pass on the whole geirus. But now, the fact that you found that the dayan is a shlumazel, that doesn't pass, it doesn't make the geirus puzzle. So the thing, passes the bezdin means it makes that the bezdin is a shlumazel digger bezdin. Al-Khanami. You might say it's an irresponsible bezdin. It doesn't pass on the geirus besides the psul bezdin. I'm just saying you have to be careful when you say it passes the bezdin. Be careful what you say. Okay. There's another tshuva in Moshe where he talks about that even in a case where someone knew that it's offer and they planned on doing it, but he says it wasn't an oifer the person planned on doing it forever. They planned on being oifer once. There's a case where a lady she became a geyayus and she knew b'shas ma'isa that she's going to go on the train on Yom Tov, even after the geirus, one time, for a certain thing. The child that passes the geirus, you have to go through a geirus again. But the author of Moshe says that the Kabbalah was a Kabbalah. Just like any yid could be over sometimes, they could be not oim ben yisoyen. That was the gather of what she was doing. But she was committed. After that, she was never mechallel Shabbos or Yom Tov again. That also doesn't pass the geirus to the Yevit. But upon him, we're not. That's another sugya. Passing a geirus to the Yevit is one sugya, and how to do geirus to katchila is a whole different sugya. Now, there is another aspect to geirus, which is that a geirus has to be l'shem shemayim. Which means that if there's any ulterior motive why a person is becoming a ger, not because he wants the konas tachas kamfei shechina and to become close to Hashem, the reason why he's becoming a ger is because he feels that this will bring him wealth, he'll be Jewish, he'll have a lot of money, or if he'll be Jewish, he'll be able to marry this person, or some other type of ulterior motive, so that is something which you're not allowed to be megayer someone in such a case. However, this is a very common misconception. People are not aware of this. People, and halacha is clearly halacha kulam geirim hei. even if, even though the halacha is that you're not allowed to be megayer someone in such a circumstances, but if you were megayer someone, even if it was being done the shem ishus or the shem mammon or the shem shulchan alachim, b'diyeved the geyer is chal. So when, also, I just remember years ago there was a big tumult about certain bezdin that had done a lot of geyurim in Eretz Yisrael. The sugya of geyers is a big sugya because there's a lot of, because over there the law of return that says that anyone who's Jewish has a right to be a citizen. So that's a very big shalei l'shem shemayim type of thing. And there was at one point that the whole bezdin had done thousands of geyers over there, and there was a big tumult about it. That there was certain poskim that said that at least some of the geyers was good, and others said none of it was good. But I just remember then from the discussion that people were talking about it, they were saying it's clear they weren't doing it the Shem Shemayim, but that's a very big mistake, because the Shaila was, we're talking about B'diyevet. We're talking about, once the Bezdin did it, is the Geir's Chal or not? That's a whole different question. Even if a person did it Shalei L'Shem Shemayim, which they probably did, that doesn't make that the Geir's B'diyevet is possible. You have to realize also that passing a Geir's is not a Chumrah. It could be a kula as well. Because if a person's a goy, so you can sell him your chametz. If you say, his geirus is not chal, his geirus is not a geirus, that means that you're telling him that he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs, and you're telling your regular yid that you can sell him your chametz, and you can tell him that you could use him as a Shabbos goy. But if the geirus was chal, then you have all the, and there's another nafkamina. What if he was mekadosh isha? So he married a Yiddish girl. So if you say the geirus wasn't chal, so there's no she doesn't need a get. If you say he's a yid, at least l'chumra, then she needs a get. So it's not always a chumra to say, oh, those that bezdin whatever they did, no, that geirus is nothing. You can't just do that, because there's a lot of that might be a kula, not a chumra. So everything has to be. You can't, not in every case is it shaykh to just say, let's be machmer and say that the geirus is not a good geirus. You could say is, you need another geirus l'chumra. That's many times what happens. That means about, in our bezdin, we have many times where there's people come in with a geirus from a different bezdin, which we don't recognize, and we don't trust that bezdin. So sometimes we'll say, Taka, Gunish, it's nothing. Like, let's say, a reform geirus. So we don't recognize it at all. Because B'derech Kal, the reform, the Dayanim themselves are possible. So that's Taka Mamish Goy Gomer. But there are cases where, but there are cases where there's, it's an Orthodox Bezdin, but we don't trust those Jabonim that they did the proper Birurim, and that they knew what they were doing. So we'll be Masach another Geirus L'chumra. But we're not going to say the person's a Goy. We're not going to say that you can, if he married someone, if he's Mekadosh Isha, then she doesn't need a get. Now, in this Inyan of L'shem Ishus, so here's a, it's something that comes up a lot nowadays, is that you have people that they themselves are Orthodox, they subscribe to Orthodox Judaism, they belong to a shul, whatever, their family belongs to a shul, and they want to have an Orthodox marriage. But they themselves are not so observant. And the person gets into a relationship with someone who's not Jewish. And then they want to marry them. So then they approach the Bezdin that they want a geirus, because that sort of resolves the issue that now they can marry a person as a Jew. This is a very serious shaila. Now, pashtus, you would say, well, what can you do? The geirus, it's a shame ishus. Mam is a shame ishus. And how could you be megayus to a person? But there are tshuvas from, especially Achiezer and others, that say, based on the tshuva, Tuv Tam Vadas, and Shlomo Kluger, based on the Chuvat Rambam, And the idea is that this Isser of being the guy of the Shem Ishus, again, we're saying it's an Isser Rabbon, and that Isser, sometimes we can be doicha that Isser. In what case? In the case we're talking about being Matzah Yid from Chet, so then you could be Matzah the Isser of being the guy of the Shem Ishus in order to be Matzah Yid from Chet. So wherever there's a situation where the people are already living Be'issa, and if you're not Megaya them, they'll continue living Be'issa. So then, since you're being Matzah them from Chet, by being Megaya them, so then that would be Matzah the Issa of being Megaya the Shem Ishus. That's what Achiazza says, and that's what Davis Moshe also, it was like that. And the Mela, that's very common in many Bati Din, that they do this Lamaisa, that there'll be Megaya in such a case. However, very important, two things. First of all, there needs to be a Kabbalah mitzvah. So even if the person is in such a situation where we're saying that, yes, we need to be matzul from chet, but that's only matter the lekatchila of gir l'shem yishus, but it doesn't help us if the Kabbalah mitzvah is not a Kabbalah mitzvah, then the whole geirus is not a geirus, even b'di'evit. So for that we need the person, the non-Jewish partner, to go through the same program, learning and practicing and doing all these things in order to see that the Kabbalah's mitzvah is the real Kabbalah's mitzvah. And the emes, because of that, you think, oh, so this, people are going to be Megaya. The fact is that many, many people, once they see what they have to do in order to be Megaya, in order to get married the Jewish partner, they're not interested. Why should they go through this whole thing? They just want to get married, but they don't have to change their whole lifestyle. But there are sometimes people that they taka, they start learning about Yiddishkeit, and they taka become interested, and they taka something that makes them they find it to be something that they ordinarily they wouldn't have looked into, but once they looked into it and they saw what it is, they're very inspired and they want to keep it. So over here, Taka the place can say that we'll be more makel on the being matcha because of the fact that it's lahatzel min achet. So because of that cheshmer, lahatzel min achet, we taka more makel on that. Now another thing is there are certain poskim who say, and there are bati din who are knowing like that lemaisa, that it can't be a policy. Meaning to say you can't do this on a regular basis, because then what's going to happen is that people we want to prevent intermarriage. Otherwise, once you say that this is what you do, okay, so then how are you going to prevent people that are nominally religious from going out and finding a non-Jewish partner if they know that the bezin will always be megayda? So that's why there are those who say that even the achiyaz is only matter in a one-time case. You can't make it an official policy. Okay, that's already a subject of machlekes, how far to take this heter. Another thing is, an important thing to keep in mind, is that this heter would only apply when you have a Jew and a non-Jew. But sometimes you have two goyim that are married already. It sometimes could happen. You have a couple, they're both goyim. One of them becomes interested in Yiddishkeit, Hashem Shemai. Person wants to become a ger. The partner doesn't really want to become a ger, but the one who's interested in Yiddishkeit is so excited about Yiddishkeit, is so determined to become a Yid, he says, you know, this is what I want to do, and if you're not willing to come along, we'll have to separate. So many times the partner says, does want to separate, especially his children, especially if whatever it is, they're very interested in the other person. So they're going to want to say, okay, I'll go along with you. And they're willing to go along and mamash go through the whole gayus. Here, this is a case of l'shem ishus, which doesn't have any hetter l'hatzel manachet. Because what's the head of the Hatz Menachet? They have a Yid living the Issa with a Goy. But if you have two Goyim, they're living, there's no Issa for them to live together. And the, oh, after he made the Geyers, yes. Sorry? Yeah.
So,
Anachanami. If one of them already made the Geyers, then yes, but why should the Bez be Megaya that person? When you know that the other person is gonna come along, and that's L'shem Yishus. So what we could do is, then what you have to do is, you have to tell them that we could be Megaya, because you're doing it L'shem Shemayim. We can't be Megaya, because you're doing it L'shem Yishus. And now, the two of you should decide what you want to do. If you, yeah, but basically saying to them that we will only be Megaya, the one who wants to do L'shem Shemayim. It could be very difficult, these types of situations. And also, it's not always easy to determine that just from meeting these people, to know, you know, what their kavanah is. Because they can say whatever they want. As long as they know what you want to hear from them, they can say whatever they want. So it takes, now, they're also like this. So the emes is that here we have a big shiloh. What happens when it's a suffix, the shame issues? So, B'chaim Moshe talks about this. What is it by suffix, the shame issues? Do you say suffix, the banu l'kula? The Maisa, the Lashon of the Rambam is that when a person comes to this guy, it says, Boitkin Achrov. Boitkin Achrov means you have to go investigate. To make an investigation to see Shemo, he's being misguided for this reason. Shemo, he's being misguided for that reason. And we have to look into Boit Kinach, to make an investigation. And the Rambam says, in Nimsa Bahem Ilo, if there's any Ilo, if there's any reason why they're being misguided, then you're not misguided then. So it would seem from the Rambam is not saying that if you find out that they're being misguided, Shaloi Vashem Shemai. Everyone says, I mean, if we find any reason, if there is any factor that could be the reason why they're being Megaya, then you can't know. It could be that they're being Megaya for that reason, and therefore you can't be Megaya then. So, there comes out from there that even if you can't make the determination, but you don't know, so just don't be Megaya then. There's no chiyuv to Megaya then. The Yosef says on that Rambam, he says, "V'hakol lefi ra'ois ein adai." So again, you can understand the Yosef in two ways. Yeah, you can understand that "hakol lefi ra'ois ein adai" means that in such cases, the dayan needs to make a determination according to his shikla adas, what it looks like to him, and whatever looks like to him is good. And even if he's wrong, if he ends up being wrong, it's still okay. But that's one way to learn. You can learn differently what the Shayzah means to say. It doesn't mean to undermine the Rambam, because if that's the pshat, then MS, the whole din of the Rambam is never negeya. The Rambam could have just said, I think what the Shayzah means to say is that, of course, the standard halacha is the stam, if you don't know if he's Megayah, the Shem Shemayim, or Shalil Shem Shemayim. Well, of course, you can't be Megayah then, because you know there's a factor there. A Kodesh Priyayis and Adayin means, if you have a case where the Adayin is very convinced and very, very confident that this person is being Megayah L'Shem Shemayim, even if there is an Elo there, that Lefanecha, but you know that even if not for that factor, the person would still want to be Megayah, then the Adayin can be Seimach on that and be Megayah. But there are such cases where you see someone that there is a factor there that could be that's the reason why the person be Megaya. But from getting to know the person very, very well, you see that factor has nothing to do with it, and even if that thing wouldn't be there, they would still Megaya. Anyway, so again, it means a lot of these determinations of being, determining whether a person's takabing the Kabbal mitzvahs and whether the person's doing it L'Shem Shemayim or not, these are things which are not so much of a, it's not something that you could really have any, there's no Gemara, there's no Shulchan Aruch, it's something that you just have to trust your Shikul HaDat, and with the proper Yerushimayim and proper seriousness, and make this determination. But the emes is that being Oisik in this field of Geirus is something which can sometimes be very, very inspiring, because people come in, they really, it's an amazing thing. You have people coming in, people that come from the world, the big world out there. Sometimes we think that, you know, well, us, we have Torah mitzvahs, you know, we have to kafalim hakagigas, and this is what we have to do. And people out there, oh, they have, sometimes people think, oh, they're living it up, they're having a good life. You come, you hear people come in, and they say, we want to leave everything behind. We just, that the world is a jungle out there. It's a crazy world, and we want the emes. We want Yiddishkeit, and that's a very inspiring thing. And some of these people attack it. This is what everyone else needs to know. Even if you're not oisik as a dayan, there's a special mitzvah of a haftamas ager. And if you happen to know someone who is a ger, and a ger tzedek, need to say someone that taka was megar l'shem shemayim, and they are such people. I know people that from the ger's process, we know people that mamish came from nothing. They there's absolutely no reason why they should become a ger, and they became a ger simply because they recognize that this is the emes, and those people. So it says the haftamas ager, it's a very big mitzvah. That's difficult. Not everyone has the opportunity to mekayim, but nowadays, if you know someone that's a ger, to be mekayim of them and to give them the proper help that they need. And many of them, they're very, very much. You have to realize also that these gerim mutak or mekayim l'shem shemayim, many times they feel very lonely. In the beginning, they're very excited, and they think they're going to come in, everyone's going to welcome them with open arms. And then afterwards, it gets, you know, life goes on, and everything goes back to normal. And sometimes, unfortunately, there are people that they go back because they don't feel that they got the proper korva. So it's a very big mitzvah for all of us to know that it's important to care about geirim and to make care of them, get the geirim hatzedek. And I'll tell you one more thing, is that I spoke by a bar mitzvah of a certain ger. I said that, see, in the Rambam, very interesting diak in the Rambam. Rambam says that the mitzvah of Avet Yisrael is different than the mitzvah of Avet Geirim. The mitzvah of Avet Yisrael, the Rambam says, is v'ahavta l'reacha. There's no mitzvah to actually love a yid, the leiv. It's just, v'ahavta l'reacha means you should want that he should have what you have. It means it's a practical ava. The ava to shtel tzu for that person, to give that person what they need. But by avas geirim, it says v'ahavtem es hager. And Rambam says that's like by the Bnei Shalom, it says k'viyachol v'ahavta es Hashem alekecha. That's ava believe, ava amitis believe. So you see the level of that the Torah wants us to do for geirim, and that's it's a meridigus chus for all of us if we're able to. In the kind, the mitzvah of Avos Geirim.
A whole world of content awaits you on Kol HaLashon, United Kingdom, 0208-191-7000, United States, 646-663-7920, Israel, 03-617-1095.